Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back to those of you who are visiting. I have seen a couple of you only once in the last year, and it's so good to see your face here again. I love seeing and reconnecting with old friends and glad you're with us. And everybody, welcome to Unity of Bernie, the house where love lives, the house love built. That's what I like to call it. Today I want to talk to you about promises. Promises made, promises delivered, promises kept. There are different levels of promises. We talk about campaign promises, and a lot of times we see politicians make them, and we don't think very much of them if they're kept or not, depending on what we feel is right politically, but they're not that particularly important. As we get closer, people get closer to us, and the promise is made, that becomes a little more important. And the closer the relationship, the more important the promise when it's made. We have the ability, by our word, by the things we declare inside, to make a promise to somebody and to receive the benefit of a promise. A promise is a little different than a statement or an affirmation. To me, it connotes a very close connection to the heart. Brides and grooms promise each other. In fact, we've all heard the song, "Oh, Promise Me." Promise connotes something sacred. In the scriptures, in the New Testament particularly, when Jesus said, "Verily," that also translates into, "I promise you." Truthfully, it means something that's eternal. It's a verity. It's something that you can rely on. The spiritual promise, the one that I'm interested in and the one I think that all of us are interested in here, is the one that says, "I go before you, I prepare a place for you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, I am with you even until the end of the age." In our type of church, we interpret these things metaphysically. Not that our world is literally going to end, but the end of the age of us thinking in one way and reaching out for new life when we think in another. The promises that we make to others are always colored by our own personality. The promise that we make to others really begins inside ourselves. So if we're clear of spiritual blocks, if we're clear against the things that we have held back in our minds against ourselves or somebody else, our promises take on a different type of clarity. It's something that is more genuine from our heart. In other words, if our relationship is good with ourselves, it will be good with others, and we can deliver and keep promises and receive them. That's part of the flow of life with one another. You know, Don Miguel Ruiz in the Four Agreements talks about being impeccable with your word. And we automatically think that that is towards somebody else. And that's true. But it's very important to be impeccable with your word to yourself. And I think it's extremely important not to speak words against yourself. In other words, take the things that you would like to see changed about you, and instead of being against something that you have done or what you feel you are, you turn that around and say, "I'm for its reverse." In other words, instead of, for example, "I want to quit eating junk food," you could say, I now want to eat healthy. I affirm that I'm eating healthily, that I enjoy the benefits of better food. You see, it's a little shift. What you're against weakens you, and what you're for empowers you. And if you've seen people that are very angry and very intensely negative, you'll see many times that they're really in a weakened position. And the more that they feel this weakness, the louder that they have to yell that they're right. But the more confident a person is, the more that they feel that they are acting from integrity on the inside, the more quiet they can be, because as Scripture says, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." In other words, if you know it and you are it, and you believe it and it's a part of you in every way, you don't have to talk about it so much. What you are speaks so loudly, people can't hear what you're saying. And you see, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And that includes the one that's delivering it. I need to model and mirror what I teach. I think I do that. I know all too well when I don't, and I hop on myself pretty good, because if I'm not doing it and I'm teaching it, then there's a chasm there that I don't like. I have to have integrity in order to stand up here and tell you that this works or this doesn't, that I've done it myself, and that you know you can take it to the bank that I mean what I say. Too many ministers get up, they will tell you cute stories, particularly things about their life, things that may make them look good for a moment, or a joke or this and that. And sometimes I think that's a way to spread out time in sort of a narcissistic way and not really get to the heart of what people deal with, what we have to deal with. I'm a minister that wants to go to the heart. I want to know the things that move you. I want to be part of your life. I want to help if I counsel. I want to know that I'm making a difference. It's way too easy to say words. It's way too easy to make a promise that's not kept. And that's why I'm saying it's integral to your growth, to mine, that we keep the promises inside ourselves, to ourselves. And then when we do that, we can keep those promises on the outside much better. In other words, keep your mental windows clean, and then you can see more clearly what's in front of you, what you want to participate in, what you want to give your attention to. Because we know that energy flows where attention goes. So if you pay attention to the things that are negative, they will expand. If you pay attention to the things that are positive, that will expand. You see, it's this not dichotomy so much as it is a non-duality of one. We say there's opposites. They're really not. You can't have the yes without the no. You can't have the light without the dark. It's looking at life in a holistic way. Yes, we have to live according to night and day and what we call good and bad. But really, it's all part of a divine whole that is perfect already, and we have to tune into that, and we have to learn what to forgive, who to forgive. And most generally, it has to be ourselves. We have to forgive our perceptions, our misperceptions. We don't always know what's going on in any situation. That's why I think Christ Jesus said, "Judge not, that you be not judged." We don't really know enough to judge an outer situation. Sometimes we barely know enough to judge what's going on inside ourselves. And I think the injunction in Matthew 7:1 that says, "Judge not, that you be not judged," is especially important to us and for us, beginning with ourselves. You see, a judgmental person has already judged themselves. A negative person's already gone negative inside. A person that wants to hurt has already hurt themselves. So you see, it's true what we say in unity. You're not judged so much, you're not punished so much for your sins, but by them. It's what you hold on to. It's what you hug and say is me, and it's part of me, and that's the way it is, and I'm not giving it up. And that's a refusal to allow what's commonly called grace or the newness of life to come through you and animate you in new and different ways. The promise you make to yourself, I will say, is the most important one. Because then, if that's clear, you can make promises to others and keep them. A lot of times people say, "I promise I'll do this," and then it becomes, "Well, you know, I'll try." And "Well, you know, I want to." And there's not anything very firm or solid about it. But a person that stands the integrity of their own being in there, so they can say, "I promise you," and deliver. You see, breaking agreements, breaking promises, is sort of a passive-aggressive way of saying, "I really don't care what I'm saying to you, and it really doesn't matter what you have to say. And there's a payoff for that. And unfortunately, the payoff in psychology is that we get to feel a certain amount of power over someone if we break a promise or keep it, or, as I say, passive aggressively, just take our energy back and say, I don't have to keep this promise even though I've said it. You see, I'm talking about getting down deep inside ourselves. I've said that metaphysics sometimes can wrap a blanket around you and make you feel that everything's perfect and there's nothing needs to be changed. And in truth, everything is perfect. But we have to change our perception to recognize that perfection. And I don't believe that it's just the only thing to do to say affirmations to change yourself. You have to go where those affirmations lead you. So in other words, if you say, I am a whole, healthy, complete, wonderful child of God, now you fill that in with what's true about that in your circumstance right now. The promise will come true provided that you fulfill the necessity to grow along spiritual lines. We just can't, you know, we can name it and claim it sometime, but we just can't expect that all the time because life is a growth experience. It's designed for our learning. It's something that unfolds before us. And right now, I know many of you will say, there's no such thing as the perfection of this plan. I don't feel it. I've been through too much, and I don't know how I could say that I feel that anything is right. The only thing I can say to that is, I remember being very close to a mosaic that had beautiful colored glass, and I got right up close to it because I wanted to see the date on the bottom of the bottle that was a piece of the glass. And I got to it, and it absolutely looked jagged and a mess. And I stepped back, and it was still sort of a mess. But as I went way far back, it all made sense. It all was beautiful. Every piece was where it was supposed to be. And I thought, that's sort of like, I think, the way life is. We don't understand why this piece is here. We don't understand why that's there. But when you get and step back, you see the whole, the beauty of it. That's going to happen with your life. It's set up that way. That's God's promise to you. In San Antonio, in particularly the culture we have, I've heard it said, un promessa es un promessa. A promise is a promise. Some people take that very, very literally. I like that. I believe when you promise, you keep it. I believe that is a way of showing your word, your integrity, and your intention to be what you say you are. So before you make any promises out there right now, I challenge you to go inside and think about the places that you might need to forgive yourself, cut yourself a break, declare whatever it was that's unfinished over, forgive yourself, and get ready to move on in a different way towards expansion and new life. If we're not growing, we're constricting. The things that are stagnant in this world are dead things. Circulation is the law of life. New love from God, new power from God. Anytime we need it, anytime we accept it, anytime we expect it. That's why we have these aids like the Daily Word, the books, the things that help us look inside. But I think sometimes we'll look at it and read it and think, that's all I have to do, and it's in my subconscious, it'll come out. We have to work it. We have to make a promise to ourselves to grow. We have to put feet on these wonderful affirmations. I say this also because I've seen people say, I've tried the way you've said it. I've said the affirmations. I've done these things, and nothing works. Well, it does work, but you have to believe that it does. And the way you can believe that it does is when you clear yourself of the blocks that are in you and the impediments to love and clear away everything that is unlike love. That's a tall order. But the result is a changed life, a life where you can literally walk forward and be new, enjoying the promise, the spiritual promise that is ours. You know, there's a lot of times that a minister has to counsel. And I always consider it an honor that somebody will ask me to help them with a particular problem. It means that they're reposing a certain amount of trust, and I take that very seriously. And I've heard people say many times, it's too late. I can't. I don't want to. It hurts too much. I feel like I can't take that anymore. Have you noticed that all that refers back? It's all not realizing the new life that can be reached out for now, that you can take now. I don't sometimes know how to get folks to understand that it's just that simple. But it is. It's a decision. It's a decision to drop this thing that we've constructed, part of it at least, called the personality, that holds grievances, that holds memories that no longer serve, that holds things against ourselves and other people. I can't emphasize this enough. Letting that go, becoming a conduit for pure divine love, washes you clean. Not necessarily in the way the old religionists said it, but in the way of life. We don't have to work our thyroid gland. We don't have to work our stomach. We don't have to pump our blood. That is done for us. What is not done for us is our thinking. And that now shows me, and I hope it shows you, a very close connection with the divine. We've been given power over but one thing, and that's our minds. That, to me, shows that God reposed a lot of trust in us and wanted us to grow and wanted us to use our minds and didn't want us straitjacketed to one book and not question anything else. There are a lot of folks that think that there's only one book, one Bible, and it's true from Genesis to Revelation, literally, and that's all I need to do is read it, and that's it. To me, that's being, you're shortchanging yourself. That's being short-sighted. There's a lot more to the promise than just the words. There's the living out of it. You have the ability to do that the minute you want to, the minute you can forgive yourself and then others, the minute that you can actually take this new life. So what does that look like? Does it mean you have to write it down to get it out? Yes, maybe you have to go to a therapist to get it out. That's fine. I've said it before. Whatever it takes, what it takes. And how do you know when it's enough? When you've got the results you want. I know this. He wins who endures to the end. Sometimes it looks like life is just set up awful hard for us. But we make it harder because we judge it. And that's one thing that we shouldn't do. We need to pull back our judgments. We need to pull back the way we think it should be. And know that we're given the power to adjust our attitudes. And that's the only thing we have complete control over, our minds. Are we using them against ourselves? Are we saying things that we'll have to answer for inside ourselves later? Are we placing judgments against ourselves and other people that we're going to have to deal with later? Are we modeling inside what we want outside? You see, this is how you create your reality. It's just not quite so simple as I think it and it is. It generally comes about as a pattern of thought that's persisted in over a period of time. And that's why I think it's so important for us to gather here weekly in any church, to gather together weekly to take power and strength from one another, to give love to one another, to help each other along the path as we grow. The promise that we make to ourselves for new life, for growth, for forgiveness of self and others, that is like a beacon that will attract good to you. Many people don't want to be around negative folks. And you can understand it. Sometimes it's draining. Sometimes you feel like, gee, that energy's awful, slow and low. But when you're vibrating to the frequency of life and forgiveness and wonder and awe and joy and all those things we teach, your step is a little lighter and people love to be in your company. And you're helping folks by setting an example. And if you're going through what we call hell today, there's a way to go through it that gets you through it quicker. And the way to do that is to make a new decision about your reality. It can be done. I wouldn't say it if I hadn't done it myself. I once said I'd never do in ministry, I'd never say something I hadn't proved for myself. To me, it's absolutely true. There are times that I need to forgive myself and times I need to forgive other people, and my discomfort is in direct proportion to how long it takes me to forgive that resentment or to forgive that grudge or to remember who I am and who I'm supposed to be. Life is a classroom designed for your higher growth. And I hope throughout all eternity that there's always a challenge. I hope that we're always growing. I hope that we're always learning. I hope that we can all look at one another one day and say, wasn't it something what we had to learn, what we went through, how we grew, sitting back after passing this particular grade of life that we're all in together. We've all crossed our paths across for some reason. Here we are. And one day this will all make perfect sense. And right now I believe it can if we look deeply enough. But if we have faith, then it comes about faster. And that's the last thing I want to talk about that has to tie this whole promise thing up. You know, you can be the most severe fundamentalist and literalist, or you can be the most free-thinking New Ager. But there's one thing that's in common with both sides of that spectrum, and that is at some point you have to take a jump. You have to release the reins and have faith. In the Bible, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't think that it means that God is offended if you don't have faith. I think that means it's impossible to experience God without faith. Faith, hope, love. The greatest is love. But faith is a form of love because it says, whatever happens, I trust it's for my highest good and I trust God has it worked out for me. Faith is the ultimate release. And the more that you can release that control of how you think things should be, the more that you can deal with things as they are and as you'd like them to be. Life is a do-it-yourself project. And that's, to me, the glory and the agony. Because there are times that I've spent on my knees, and I knew I didn't have to get on them. I knew God would hear me just as well if I stood up. The times I've been on my knees, and I think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But I always have. And I bet if you look back at your life at those times, what we call the dark night of the soul, you'll see that you got through it. And you learn something from it, or you help somebody else learn something. See, we're all in this together. So if you're making a better you, each one of you, then you're making a better community. You can't do it collectively. I've seen religionists try to take one brush and paint everyone, and it just doesn't work. It has to be individual. Has to be unique. And in unity and metaphysical churches, we affirm your individuality. And though we know we're all part of one, we're still individual parts of one. We are apertures of God experiencing himself or herself. We are all one, and we're separate in our oneness. An interesting parallel. The yin, the yang. The beginning, the end. It's really all one. And you are all one. And nobody should ever tell you that you're divided and that you have an angel nature or a demon nature or this or that or anything dual in you. You're perfect as you are. I just think metaphysics doesn't sometimes do its best job of letting you know why that's so. And the reason why that's so is because you're a living expression of God, clothed in human form to learn what you need to learn to advance for your highest good. The great architect of the universe did not build a staircase leading nowhere. We have to trust the process. We have to have faith. Faith sometimes is difficult, but it's necessary. Release. Let yourself go. Let your mind go. Let your heart go. Let it go to places you didn't think you ever could. Try it. See what happens. All life's an experiment anyway, and you might as well bet on yourself while you're doing it. Because if you bet on yourself, if you really believe in what you are and what you're about and what you want to manifest, and you've really thought hard about it, then you'll want to put your best effort into it. And the best effort you can have is the faith in God, faith in yourself, knowing that love is who you are and what you're here to express. And then when you go out and you meet something that challenges you, you can step back into the strength that you've already claimed that goes before you and is part of you. You see, it's circuitous. And isn't that wonderful? It's not chopped up. It can be part of one divine circle of completion. Love it all. You have a chance to grow through it. Love it all. I'm not saying wish for those hard times. I'm saying know that there's a lesson in there somewhere. Even in the things we think we can't accept. Even in the things that we can't understand. The love and light of God is always with you. And it's reflected to each one of you by each one of you. If we're doing our job right. And if I'm doing my job right, I'm inspiring you to do that. And if there's any way that I can uphold you along your journey in any way possible, let me know. That's what I'm here for, and I'm happy to do it. After this message, we're going to have a meeting about the future of Unity of Burning, the promise of who we are and what we are as a group. What I want to know from each one of you is, what does it look like to you, our church, physically, 1, 2, 5 years from now? I want to hear your opinions. I want to know the things that are important to you. Not necessarily having to do it today, but we start a dialogue. We start a conversation about expansion. You know, a lot of ministers have what's called an edifice complex. You know, they take off on edifice. They feel like they got to build something in order to justify their existence. I don't. I've just seen the love in this place, and I know that when it expands, and the people who come here are so touched, when it expands, it's wonderful. And I think, as has been said, Unity of Burning is the best-kept secret in Kendall County. So let's see what it looks like to expand. Let's talk about this. Let's mastermind about it. Napoleon Hill wrote a book, Think and Grow Rich. He talked about the mastermind principle, where two or more people gather together. Just as Scripture says, there I am in the midst of them also. Two or more people's united mental force means something. So I trust this process. I trust that the ideas that come from you will be ones that are for our higher growth, for the wonderful future that I believe is ours. So I invite you to stay for this meeting afterwards. I want to know your feelings. I want to hear your opinions. Good. We'll take it to the Capital Campaign Committee. We get an idea of where we are, and this dialogue is ongoing. This isn't a one meeting, one shot, and that's it. This is part of a series of conversations, and I want to hear your opinion very, very much. And I want to be part of the discussion and answer any questions you might have about what I feel is for our growth and for our next steps. So I invite you to stay. As you go out this week and you seek to remember who you are and fulfill the promise of your own destiny, remember, you're never alone. A Course in Miracles said, if you know who walks with you, you'd never be afraid again for a moment in your life. Have the faith to believe that. It's true. It's there. It's here right now. I declare that it's true, and so it is. I'm just so excited about growth, I forget how we're going to do it. This